Hello?
The president.
We got away from the dinner. I just wanted to get a more complete report on your reaction to your meeting with the president.
The first thing he did is to... He came in here like a Cheshire cat. He had a message from the other side.
Yeah, this was after he'd seen your message to Brown's office.
Oh, yeah.
He'd seen it.
Which was... And that message was in reply to what I had told him at noon on the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
What I had told him at noon on the 13th was in effect nothing.
Right.
It was that conciliatory garbage. Which said that, as I told you, we're willing to find a compromise between their position and ours, provided there's a complete cessation of military operations.
Right.
And so, well, their reply was a sort of a threat, and their reply is a day later than the one they sent in Paris.
This is the Russian reply.
No, that's the
Hanoi reply.
Hanoi reply to Russia, which they transmitted to us.
Oh, I see.
And that, in effect, it was a sort of a veiling thing. They had always believed private meetings and plenary meetings had to occur side by side so that they could reinforce each other.
Yeah.
All they want to do is make sure that these two are reinforcing. Well, I'm saying...
I understand. That's
the only point is to us, they were very aggressive, but they are
right.
they're really veiling. So, in effect, they left themselves wide open to say, all right, if you come on the 24th privately, we come on the 27th publicly, and we'll announce the public meeting before the private one takes place.
Right.
Which is the proposition we had worked out anyway.
Right.
So that was the concession.
Did you tell DeBrin that? That's
yes,
what you got.
I told him to DeBrin. Well,
then didn't he think that was reasonable?
Oh, yeah. But frankly, Mr. President, I don't talk to DeBrin anymore if it were reasonable. I'm telling him that the president has made the following decision.
Right.
I said, this miserable little country is not going to destroy two American presidents. And before
we'll destroy this country first.
That's what I said. And before this country does that, we will destroy it. That's a fact of life, Anatole. Let's not argue about it.
Uh-huh.
And
he doesn't know how true it is. Right. He does.
And he doesn't argue about it. That's the fascinating thing. And so I said also, if the private meeting doesn't take place, to make sure it's not. What if you had the plenary meeting on the 20th? I said, Anatole, let's not play games. It's private meeting 24th, plenary on the 27th. But if they want to send somebody, that was also in their message.
Right.
Their message is that they are now debating in their Politburo whether perhaps their foreign minister could come to Moscow to meet me. They do have a problem about traveling to Paris while there are no meetings.
Right with me, I don't care.
But, all right, well then, so this went on. Then he said, well, about these attacks, he said, I hope to God you're not going to continue them all week long. He said, can you give me a promise that there won't be any further escalation until after you get the reply from Hanoi? I said, that's right. So I said, until after we get the reply from Hanoi, but after that, it sends up the reply. But I said we're going to continue bombing within the limits that have been established in North Vietnam. I didn't tell him what those limits were. And, he said, well, then he said, well, are you coming to Moscow? I said, and I had to follow instructions from the president. Vietnam is good, and there must be some constructive progress. Then we can turn to others. He said, we would like some assurance that this will take place. He said, well, what if the chairman, after all, the chairman of the Communist Party wants to raise another issue? He said, you have to be courteous with him. I said, no, I don't, because I was for the President of the United States. And he has given me absolutely firm instructions. I've never known him to be firm. This thing is now for granted. We must discuss it. And we must discuss it conclusively. Of course, Mr. President, I think it helps us that you determine yourself. The mere fact that we are doing this puts us into a better position, either to quell our critics, which are now going to bring up, before to move into a tougher pasture.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, we have now agreed on the 1st of February. We'll do the attack. And we will discuss it first and the great detail. We can't force them into a hell of a lot more than that.
No.
Particularly at this very minute, we're bombing them again.
The other strike got off.
The second strike got off, and the third will get off in a couple of hours.
That's for the truck parts you're going for?
Yeah.
And there are some trucks there, I hope.
They're supposed to be picked up the trucks. Well, that's more than we get in a month of the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Sure.
And I think the shock to them. Mr. President, I think the mere fact that on a day, while attacks on Haiphong are still going on, he comes slobbering and pleading for a meeting, and pleading with me to come to Moscow, indicates that these people are a lot
yeah.
more eager for this than Mr.
Well, the Russians are. You just don't know, though, you know, whether he's still reflecting what they in Moscow think of the strikes he's made. I think he has to be quite honest with us. I believe they should be, because I tell you, you may think I'm kidding about it, but I'll call Strauss over myself. He's a good friend of mine. I'll tell him to break up this goddamn thing and use my name if necessary. We'll do anything to destroy Brock.
Mr. President.
Anything.
There's one thing I'm sure of. Mr. Green, and a member of the Central Committee, does not act without instructions.
Yeah, but I think he would have had instructions by this time.
It was 9 o'clock when he came over. And I'm sure they can flash back and forth. And he must know what they want anyway, even if he doesn't have detailed instructions.
Of course, but out anyway.
But leaving that one aside, the mere fact that that for the first time in 8 years, Johnson was slobbering over them to try to get them to pass messages. This is the first time they've interjected themselves. And this is the first time they have heard that these maniacs didn't know how to do something.
Okay, well, anyway, as it turned out, it's a damn good thing, Henry, we got the strikes off, isn't it?
Mr. President, it is things are breaking right. It is a good thing that they gave us the message this morning so that we could use that as a pretext.
Yeah. I mean, the message saying they were going to break off talks.
That's right. Oh, that they were delaying the talks.
Well, yeah.
And the second thing is lucky that we got the strikes off today and not tomorrow, I think.
Now, incidentally, Owen Rogers, I hadn't talked to him long, just we were waiting for about 10 minutes. We were sitting there. I said, look, I've got this stuff I'm working on all day. I said, well, he says, I realize that. He says, I think I'll take on the critics. I said, fine, that's just what we need. Now, so I'm going to take that whole thing, that whole batch, I want to see the letter you prepared, plus the talking points, and I may sort of rewrite it and strengthen it a little, you know what I mean? Give it. What? Oh, is it? Well, did you see if it could be held or if it isn't on? Well, if it's on, it's on. It's still good.
I think it's a very strong shape.
It's in good shape.
It's a very good shape.
The only thing, and you got in the stuff about the private talks.
I got all this stuff that you dictated to me, and I included your own, the stuff you dictated after the leaders' meeting. I really think it covers the whole thing.
That covers enough, yeah.
I think it is.
And he's, but I think, I don't know for whatever reason, but probably because he realizes there's no choice.
Yes.
But Bill says, well, he says, that he'd gotten in his State Department people, to my great surprise. He said he had 18. He says, now what the hell would you do? He said, they talked about, well, they should have done this to you. He said, well, now look, what would you do now? He said, they all said, well, you've got to do what you're doing. So maybe some people, Henry, just realize that we're, you know, up against the hard spot.
Well, that's what I noticed at the Atlantic. We do have everyone pulling together to make that last. I think now we're going to pull it out. If the South Vietnamese don't collapse, and there was some quiet all over South Vietnam today.
Quiet?
Yeah. No attacks in Hanoi. Long. Well, we may have scared them, Mr. President. Well, at any rate, whether we scared them or not, I can't really judge that. But I do know that that every day that they don't attack gives our guys a chance to catch their breath.
Well, also, certainly our goddamn Air Force is still attacking, isn't it?
Our Air Force?
Well,
despite that strike into the north, they threw 400 sorties in the south. And what's forgotten is that I send that over to Bill, is that the South Vietnamese Air Force is also flying a lot of sorties. About 50% of ours. So they are getting it.
So certainly, Henry, there must be hitting something.
No, Mr. President,
they claim
to have counted 10,000 bodies up to now. And if you cut it in half, there must be another 5,000 that they have killed that we don't find.
Well, I'll tell you, they're being punished in heavy casualties.
Mr. President, if they don't make it this time, they're not going to come back with you.
The point is that we have to realize, though, that our whole card is the blockade. However, that's why you've got to get it settled with the Russians now. I don't want a meeting. You see, when you meet with them, it's either got to be on the way to settlement or we blockade. You see, that's the one thing I'm concerned about these bastards, that they will filibuster us. See what I mean?
You can't filibuster you beyond 20 to 25 of April. And on the other hand, Mr. President, the major thing now is to speed down the North Vietnamese. And I told them that you would understand that we could not have a reasonable summit to you. Is how they were made to act.
Right. He understands that, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Good God, I mean, we can't go there with Russian tanks and Russian guns killing South Vietnamese and Americans. Hell no, we're not going to go. We won't go. It isn't just a reasonable summit. It means there ain't going to be no meeting. That's what he's got to understand. And that you can do. So you've got a few cards to play yourself. Maybe stronger than you think.
Well, so far, Mr. President,
it's been 3 weeks now.
The actions have been going on 3 weeks. They have not achieved one major objective. When it started, we said to ourselves, if they take 3 or 4 provincial towns, they're not doing that. They have not yet taken one.
You got it.
That's right.
Well, in any event, you would be going and the present plan went down.
Yes, I suggested moving in a day, but he said there's a meeting of the Politburo on Sunday, so it would be very inconvenient if they had it there.
You move it back a day? Which way?
To Thursday.
No. Oh, hell no, go in. Yeah, the sooner the better for us. Meantime, though, you mean our hands are tied now? For a week?
Well, no, we can bomb the diseases out of them all over North Vietnam, except in Hanoi and Saigon.
You would not, because you've in effect have said we would not bomb there, is that what you told?
That's right.
But how about naval action?
We can go up and down the coast, but not beyond the 20th parallel.
That's what we in effect said.
But
well, that's all right, too. We'll
Mr.
just...
Mr. President, that gets every port of North Vietnam except Saigon.
Yeah. We, but on the other hand, that allows Abrams to do what he wants to do, concentrate his air power in the battle area. And we've given quite a shock up in that area.
That's right. They'll know. They know what the situation is.
Why do you think, though, they will interpret Henry what we can do and what our stop is getting? Protests or something. See, that's what worries me.
No. They know we're talking to the Russians. And after all, we are only stopping something that we've only done one day. We're continuing everything else.
I expect we might come back another day.
Exactly.
Has it been carried in the news yet?
Yeah.
Strike?
Everything.
What are they saying about it? Squealing?
Well, they're just reporting its wave on the ship. That's the first wave they're describing. It's wave after wave of flames. You see, they can't see the B-52, and they dropped 1 million pounds of bombs.
Of what? 1 million?
1 million pounds of bombs.
In the high hung area.
Did
they have their calibrators fit?
Yeah, they're fixed.
And you think they really hit something this time, don't you?
Well, actually, we now have the photographs. They hit something last time, too.
Yeah. Well, this time, they probably hit a hell of a lot, don't you?
That, oh, it's enough. And this time, they did it visually.
Oh, the weather was good enough?
Yes, they did it with radar, visually.
God damn, that must have been a good strike. Of course, you want to remember Johnson bombed them for years. It wasn't any good.
But when President Johnson never had a strategy, he was sort of picking away at them. He'd go in with 50 planes, 20 planes. I bet you we will have had more planes over there in one day than Johnson had in a month.
Really?
Yeah.
But that has more impact, too. It?
That's right.
It's a shock treatment of cracking them.
Yeah.
The only thing I regret is that when we made this plan, we didn't take out the power plant. The power plant, that can be demoralized.
Well, they have a power plant that they can hit south of the 20th.
What you mean? I meant the ones that fed high and high. They put out all their lights.
Well, it may be awesome.
Really?
No, I didn't deny it.
Well,
they gave them, 10 targets, of which they're supposed to hit 6.
I see. Well, it's probably a pretty good strike, Henry, isn't it?
Well, 196 airplanes.
Well, in World War One, too, though, we used to have 1,000 planes.
Yeah, but these planes, each plane can carry about 10 times the load of World War II planes could carry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we will hold on, see what happens. But we've got Bill on salvo. We'll take a hard line.
Even if some protests start next week, we've got a big hold for them.
Well, the fact that you're in Russia.
Yeah. Exactly.
When we blow that one, that's going to really... if we blow that one, you realize we will say that we're not going to the summit. But that's it.
No, but maybe for this we may blow it.
And still go on.
And still go to the summit. For example, supposing to get a settlement that the Russians guarantee.
Oh, that? A wedding settlement.
My assessment is that the chances are 50-50 that we may want to blow it or something. But at any rate, it's a good old card to have.
See. Oh, yeah. That's the reason why you're going. It's a good thing to do. They coming up.
Well, you can even make a case if they come a week later, it gives them a better chance.
Yeah. Well, also, we've got a chance to work on it, too. You understand, if they don't show, after you meet the Russians...
Well, we go right back.
Would you agree?
Oh, okay.
And the Russians have got to damn well understand that. And also, you've got to understand that I just have a feeling, Henry, that the strategy which you and I both agree on, of keeping the screws on, is the right one. I know everybody thinks it's, too hawkish, too unreasonable, and so forth, but what the hell else can you do?
If we had pursued the Laird strategy, we might have won in the South, but the war would have dragged on and on and on, and winning in the South doesn't bring the Russians in. What brings the Russians in, we wouldn't have won in the South, we could have held in the South. And what brings the Russians in is the fact that the situation may get out of hand. The Fordic that's seated there has made more of an impact on the Russians than the defense of Ann Lark, which they don't understand.
Yeah, the fleet shakes them because they think it's a blockade, huh?
Of course.
And they're right. This time we aren't fools. We got enough to do it. We have more still coming out there.
Two carriers are on the way. One of them is going to be there.
Good.
Monday and operation on Wednesday. Then immediately get that 96 stories.
Well, I tell you, what you do is pour it in every place you can. Pour it down wherever the weather is. Just bomb the hell out of it. I would think they'd be tearing the hell out of that I-Corps now, should they?
Oh,
the weather. Are they getting something like that?
They're tearing up the panhandle. I don't need to report this stuff to the 26 secretaries, warehouses, and storage and stuff like that.
In the panhandle?
Yeah, the cumulative effect of that is quite enough.
Abrams has got the horses. About himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll finish one Pan American then again. I'll have to tell you the damn thing to say these folks are here. They've been out of the week. And, God, I love them, but Jesus Christ, the organization is, you know, just lovely people, but they just haven't got it, have they? What do you think?
That's something different.
Except for Brazil. Well, anyway, we'll see. Now, in the morning, you'll give me...
I'm going over to the Pentagon to get a full wrap-up on this today's operation. And then I'll give you a call.
Yeah. On the Rogers thing, I told him to give me a call if he had any thoughts, you know, anything he wanted to ask about it. But he's all set for the hard line. I just, if there's anything more you think we want to feed him, let's give it to him.
Right.
Because, you know, let him go out. I mean,
I don't think we should overdo it now. I think
well, he won't overdo it. You know that. But I meant it'll be whatever he says won't sound near as hard as if Laird says. That's the reason his saying it is good.
Oh, yes, it's a great answer.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Right, then.